I want to start off with a quote because I think it's very telling. It's because we're going to talk about the future a little bit, and this always arrives in the wrong order, is what Alvin Toffler says. And, you know, if you take that, you know how hard it is to really sort of plan what we're going to do in terms of making our companies more profitable, make them survive into the next century. My goals are pretty simple. We're going to talk about media habits. We're going to talk about technology. Without getting into devices or specifics, we're not going to make this too geeky. And then I'm going to share some thoughts about the future and where things are going. I am going to try to equip you with a sort of an understanding of where the landscape is, and then you can make your own decisions on how you're going to run your companies. My belief is that we need to understand the world if we're going to try to adapt and change. So put another way, let's talk about the future of news and information. Let's talk about where and how customers are getting news and information. And let's look at the real challenges any newspaper company has going forward. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, there is a sense of urgency to it. When we look at the impact of technology upon our industry, or any industry, when new devices come about, when there is a catalyst that triggers an event, it creates opportunities and is disruptive. It's probably hard to read the slides because of the light in the back, but at the top it says creates the new, disrupts the old. And that's really what we're facing right now, whether it be the internet or any other device. And the example I like to use right now is the iPod, the video iPod. So the iPod comes in and it disrupts the old, things like record stores and radio stations. It creates new opportunities, podcasters and accessories. It's not just about changing the old. It's also about creating the new. And in fact, when you look at the iPod, the whole idea of the sort of ecosystem that is built around a new technology like the iPod or MP3 players, to be more generic, is the fact that there's $1 billion worth of accessories sold every year. And use the iPod as the example because, frankly, it owns 70%+ of the marketplace. And the iPod is disruptive. It's basically changing the way people deal with audio information. And eventually, it will change the way people deal with visual information as well, such as television. Very disruptive. And it's based on the fact of a couple things. One, it's a storage device, and two, it's a visual playback device. And this matters to us because it's all about media consumption, and this is what people are doing with their time. So while I'm not sure print is ever going to be replaced totally, I think we can sort of say that, you know, there have been mediums that have arrived that have been, well, we don't use clay tablets anymore, right? Proprietary scrolls, no, they're gone. Handwritten books, gone. Town crier's gone. Camera obscura, gone. Telegrams, definitely gone. Typewriters, phonograph records, tape recorders, film cameras. It is possible to imagine the concept of print becoming less and less important in the same way that typewriters, phonograph records, tape recorders, and film cameras are devices for a select group. And that the vast majority of people are getting the same news and information, but not necessarily on paper. It's driven partly by, I want to talk about these four areas. Technology adoption, the increased competition, the fact that it is an online world out there, and the whole idea of social networking, the idea of building community around content and information. And this is the point about media consumption. There is literally a finite amount of time you can spend, and our consumers will slice and dice where they spend their time. This matters all, you know, the whole idea of technology matters because it is about time. It is about where people will spend their time and energy. And it is about trying to understand when people will adopt the technologies that end up being disruptive. So the question you have to ask on, in terms of looking at new devices, as something will come up in the next couple of years that will be new and we'll be looking at it, I think one of the things that I would say that will start to get that kind of buzz. The new reading devices from Sony, okay, where you actually have a portal device that makes it easy to read novels or books, newspapers, I don't know. We'll start to hear about that. The question is, you know, where on this technology adoption curve you'll be. If you had a DVD player 8 years ago, you were probably an innovator. 5 years ago, you were an early adopter. Early majority, probably everybody had one after four or five years ago. Late majority, and then the laggards. These are the people who don't have one. No offense, it's not a personal slight. We're not calling you any nasty names, but there are people who just are behind the curve. The real challenge for us in the media business is understanding when people make the leap from early adopter to early majority. There's a lot of neat, cool stuff out there that gets written about, but frankly, it doesn't go anywhere until it makes that leap between the chasm between something cool and neat for the early adopters and something that is for the rest of us. Now, where do you want to be as a publisher? Where do you want to be as a decision maker? Okay? You want to be aware of this here so you can make plans before it gets here. And what you don't want to do is be in the late majority, because by then it's passed you by.